Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We normally do the praise and worship, but we got problems. And Evangelist Janet Taylor is really bagging up out the mouth of two or three, shall every word be established, 2 Corinthians 13:1. I talked about deception yesterday, and this sister's bringing it today. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm going to turn this thing over for the next 1 hour and 59 minutes. A wonderful, a holy woman of God, a righteous woman. She done been out there. I done been out there, but that ain't me to say. But I see her as a righteous woman. I'm an ex-drug addict myself, ex-gangster. I done been out there. But this is a holy woman. I respect her. She respects me. And when we go on YouTube, she's going with us and Pastor Earl going with us. We're going to be going back on YouTube. My technical director repented and came back to the Lord, Janet said, and said he was sorry to get back to this. And he said, I can get you back on YouTube in less than 3 weeks. Me and Sister Dirty been working around the clock. The devil is a lie.
He is a liar. He cut us off today twice on the prayer line today. But guess what? We kept right on praying, and then it came back on. We didn't stop praying.
See, you know spiritual warfare. That's voice bouncy. Next time that happened, Evangelist Taylor, remember, voice bouncy.
Yes.
That's writing it down. Voice bouncy. Those are electrical spirits. They tie me up all the time. You know what? When I'm talking, and God is a witness, Brother John, before we get on air, Brother John be hearing all my conversations, and I don't even be talking to him at all.
Wow.
Brother John, can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you testify to that?
Yeah. You be talking to people overseas. You be talking about folks in the middle of a deliverance, and then you're talking about coordinating the folks who are going to help you with deliverance and everything else, and I had a whole conversation.
Wow.
Power of God
every night.
Is real. The power of God is real.
I'm talking about 2 and 3 in the morning when you're still doing deliverance somewhere out of state in another city somewhere, and the phone would ring, and then I figured I'd go, hello, hello, but you don't have to say hello. And then you say, hello there, so-and-so-and-so-and, blah, 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 and I go, hello, 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 and you don't hear me. I say, okay, I just shut up and listen, and I listen at the whole thing.
And see, them demons trying to block you, Evangelist Taylor. Let me say this.
Yeah.
Lord, let me tell you, we need to pray for you because you need a lot of prayer. You're on front line.
Wow.
You're on front line. And Father, before Evangelist Taylor bring this word, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We protect Deacon. Her husband is a deacon. Am I right?
Yes.
We bless the deacon. We bless the wife. We bless the evangelist. We ask in the name of Jesus that everything she touched be blessed, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. This is not only my sisters in Christ. This is my shipmate. The Lord Jesus rebuke you. Get off her ministry. Get off her life. Of course, she's not going to let you, but I'm just going to reinforce it. Go, Matthew 8:32. Go. Everybody, we now give you Evangelist Janet Taylor.
Amen, amen, amen to the church. Glory be to God, the church of the true and living God. We're going to start this thing off by blowing the shofar. Glory be to God. We're going to let the devil know who's in charge. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We have sounded the alarm. Glory be to God. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Wake up the mighty men of God. Hallelujah. Wake up the sleeping church. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We do give thanks and praise unto God on tonight for being here with you one more time. We do not take this for granted. It is nothing about me. It is the goodness of God that is operating. Thank God. We thank him for his goodness, for his grace, and for his faithfulness to provide. I thank God for Apostle Emmett Overton I thank God how he allows me to come on and be with his radio listening audience that he built up, and he's allowing me to preach what God is saying. And it's so amazing. When I told him my topic for today, which is don't be deceived, he said, I taught on this just the other day. So we know we're hitting it. We're hitting it with the 2x4. We coming from the front and the back. He hit you the other day, and now God has me hitting it today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we want to give God some praise. Again, this is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. Our web address is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. Glory be to God. If you want to sow a seed, you can PayPal us at jet245@msn.com or 336-575-0206. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you playing games with deliverance, because I believe somebody's listening tonight to the sound of my voice, and I gave you some instructions a couple of months ago, and you have not followed those instructions, don't call me playing those games. I'm going to tell you what they say today. Quit playing. Don't call me with that foolishness talking about you need to know your future. If you want to know your future, talk to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. If you keep talking to them psychics, to those witches, you won't have a future. So I just wanted to put that out there first. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Tonight our topic is don't be deceived. It's a very important topic because there's so much deception going on in the body of Christ today. So we're going to get straight into the Word of God. We're not going to tarry with this thing tonight. We're going to the Bible, see what the Bible has to say, because the Bible is our resource. That's the only resource that we have is the Word of God. So we're going to the Word of God to see what God has to say about this deception. Turn with me very quickly to Matthew 24, verses 1 through 6. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And the word of the Lord says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not one be left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And I want to stop right there. Our topic tonight is don't be deceived. So let's start deception. Deception is the act of deceiving someone, perhaps obtaining property by deception, or pertaining some goods or a service by deception. Another definition, it is the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. It is the act of deceiving. It is resorting to falsehood and deception used and deception. It uses deception to leak the classified information. The fact or condition of being deceived, something that deceives. So the bottom line is deception is lying. It is one of Satan's most clever methods of deceiving people. And it's one of his most clever methods of getting people not to serve God. You see, Satan, he doesn't have anything new. He uses the same old tricks. He uses the same things, sometimes on the same people over and over and over again. They just keep falling for the same old mess. But as I said, deception, it is one of Satan's most clever methods of getting people not to serve God. So I compiled a list of some of Satan's lies. And maybe I'm going to read this list, and maybe you might recognize some of these. All right. One of Satan's deceptions is people believe that they are good. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible said there is none good. No, not one. All right. Number two, people believe they are not as bad as others. We all were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. For the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you might not be as bad in your eyes as somebody else, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, number three. People believe that they will not go to hell for their sins because God is love. That's one of Satan's biggest deceptions, because God is love, but he gives every man free will and the choice to serve him or reject him. So if you reject him and you reject his plan of salvation, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but in the name of Jesus. If you try to come up with your own form of righteousness and you die, hell will be your home. If you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb and received forgiveness of sin through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did on the cross, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you try to go around that or get around that, hell will be your home. All right? Deception number four, people believe that they can do good works to go to heaven. Now, that is also a lie, because good works will not get you into heaven. Otherwise, why did God send his son Jesus to pay for our sins? The word of God says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So nobody can do good works to get to heaven. You can't even do enough good works, first of all. So we have to accept Jesus' sacrifice, accept forgiveness from Jesus after we repent of our sins in order to have eternal life with Christ. All right, number five, people believe that all religions are the same. It's also a deception from Satan. For the Bible declares that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Then the Bible says that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but in the name of Jesus. So all the other religions of the world are false religions, because no other religion has the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. All right, number six, people believe that they are already saved without ever repenting and receiving forgiveness of their sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ because they come from a Christian family. Well, your family being a Christian will not get you into heaven. It's whosoever will. The scriptures tell us, whoever calls, all who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. So this is an individual thing, and it's whosoever will, let him come. It's not you come from a Christian family, all right? Deception number seven, people believe that they have plenty of time to get things right with God. That is another deception, because you don't even know if you breathe out right now, if you're going to breathe back in. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. And the Bible says life is but a vapor. And the rich man who had all this money in the Bible, and he was counting up his money, and he was saying he was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns, the scripture said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. So we cannot say, oh, tomorrow I'll get things right, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. What you have to do is get things right with God today while you have a chance. The Bible says, harden not your heart and in the day of provocation. So when you hear the gospel, when you hear the word of God being preached, you must make a decision right then. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people that say, well, I didn't reject God, but the fact that you did not accept Jesus the moment you heard the gospel, that is rejection by default. All right? Another deception enemy uses is that people believe that God does not exist. Well, we know that he does exist, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. So the Bible says everything that was made by God. So God existed from the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, when we look at Genesis chapter 1, we see God was eternal from the beginning. So this is what the word of God tells us, hallelujah, concerning God's existence. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you see, God was there in the beginning, and God will be there in the end. He's eternal. He has always existed, and he will always exist. And I'm going to tell you something else. Your unbelief or disbelief that God doesn't exist does not change the fact that God does exist. So you can believe it or not, but he is real, all right? Ask me how I know. I'm going to get to that in a little while. All right, deception number nine, people believe that they don't need to repent because they say they're morally good. They keep the law. They pay their taxes. They do nice things for people. They're law abiders, and they are morally good. They don't speed. When they drive the right speed limit. They do all the things that good citizens are supposed to do, but being a good citizen does not make you a Christian. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. And deception number 10, I know I'm stepping on some people's toes right now, is that people believe that they are a Christian because they were christened or sprinkled as a baby. That is worthless. That is simply, that baby dedication does not secure your soul, your place in the Lord for eternal life. That is something parents do to make themselves feel good. Matter of fact, you don't even find baby dedication in the Bible. It says, whosoever will, let him come. And that whosoever includes you or me when you come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So all of this is just some of the lies that Satan uses to deceive people. Now, I want to go into detail on this because Jesus clearly said, take heed that no man deceive you. And then he went on to give a vivid description of some of what would be going on. So I'm going to read from the scriptures, and then I'll go back and address these things. So he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So we see that deception in the land today. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. You see what's going on right now with Ukraine and Russia, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. There is a spiritual famine going on right now. People don't have an appetite for the word of God. People are hungry, and they're hungry for the truth, but these pastors are not feeding them. So there's a spiritual famine first. Now, whenever you see a spiritual famine, a natural famine will follow. So there's going to be a shortage of food because people are not desiring the sincere milk of the word. There's going to be a shortage of natural food. So the spiritual famine is taking place, and the natural famine will follow it. All right? Now, the Bible says there will be famines and pestilences. Pestilences are what we're seeing now. We saw COVID-19. Now we see this monkeypox. And all of these are diseases that are coming upon the land. Why? Because of sin. The scripture says there will be earthquakes in diverse places. In various places, there will be earthquakes happening. One will be over here 1 week, and next week, another one will be somewhere else. We see all of this happening right now. So the scriptures is unfolding right in front of our very eyes. And those of you who can see, spiritual eye to see, I pray God that you see what's going on and warn others. The word of God said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the Bible says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, this is sorrows like when a woman is pregnant and she begins to have her birthing pains. She doesn't have the baby right away. She's got to go through what is known as labor. And so the Bible says all these things, the nations rising against nations, kingdom against kingdom, famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, that is the beginning of sorrows. So what does that tell us? You know, when a woman, begins to start having labor pains, her water breaks, and then she starts having these labor pains, and some women say they went through like a short labor pain. Me, I didn't have a short one. Mine was long. Each time I had three children and all of my pains were, I would say severe. I had extreme pain and they weren't short labors. But the Bible says that these are the beginning of sorrows. So when a woman begins to go into labor, her early stages of labor is, it's not like when she gets on down into the labor and that baby starts moving down into that birth canal, getting ready, the head is getting ready to come out. When we have the beginning of sorrow, you know that more is to come. It's going to get worse. So that's how it is with a woman having labor pains. When she began to have her labor pains, she knows after that water break, she knows that it's going to get worse. And the scripture is warning us that all these things are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of those birthing pains. Glory be to God. And then the Bible says, verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, this is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the church. He says, they shall begin to deliver you up to be afflicted and will kill you, and that you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Those that name the name of Christ, for some reason, you don't seem to understand that this is a life of suffering. You're going to be persecuted, and it's going to get worse. They're going to hate you. Right now, they're calling Christians. You see how the enemy is so deceptive, calling Christians haters. We're not haters. They are the haters. They hate God because God will not accept their sinful lifestyle, and they hate us because we won't accept their sinful lifestyle. So the Bible says they will hate you for his name's sake. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another. Now, I believe, and shall hate one another. I believe Christians need to pay attention to this particular verse right here, because there's going to be some betrayal going on, and people will rise up against one another. And I'm praying that your faith fail not, that you would stand firm, stand firmly, that your feet are planted solidly on Christ the solid rock, and that you won't betray your brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible says that so many people are going to turn away from the faith. They will just succumb to the pressures and to the voice of the enemy. They'll just say, you know, I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through this. I need to feed my family. I need to. But I'm going to tell you something. The scripture says, if any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So I pray that whatever you as a believer, me, have to go through, I pray that you will endure to the end, even if it means your death. All right? Then verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Now, I really want to talk about this. I really want to expound on this a little bit. So we see this happening today. We see that the false prophets are on the scene, and they are deceiving many. They have come on the scene, and they are just, you know, they're doing their own thing. So I want to talk about that. Now, pastors and preachers and prophets are not helping the problem today. They are contributing to it. There are many false prophets today, and I just read that to you in Matthew 24 and verse 11. There are many false prophets today who prophesy for money. They tell people they have a word from the Lord that is not from God. So Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 14. And this is what the Lord said. Then the Lord said unto me, so we have Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, which is, that's fortune telling, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. So God said, because they lying to the people, and what they're doing is actually keeping the people deceived. There it is again, that word deception, so that they will not correct themselves and prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. The Bible says that they are telling people, there ain't going to be no sword, there ain't going to be no famine, ain't nothing going to happen to us. And the Bible says because they are deceiving people, saying that God said this, he said by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Then he goes on to verse 16 and said, the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their wickedness upon them. So the prophets, God's saying I'm going to judge those prophets, and the sword and the famine going to come on those prophets because they lied to the people. And then the Lord said, but the people that listened to them, that they prophesied to, said that they are going to experience the famine and the sword, and they will have nobody to even bury them, their families or their children. That is the word of the Lord. So for those of you that keep running to these false prophets, take heed. I just read it to you from Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse number 14 through 16. Stop running to those false prophets. I'm going to tell you something. If you need a word from the Lord, you better get in this book. You better get in the Bible, and God will speak to you. You get in relationship with him. Get on your knees. Begin to talk to God. Begin to cry out to God, and God will talk to you. A lot of people say, I ain't never heard the voice of God. That's because you don't talk to him. You don't have no prayer life. If you pray and talk to God, he will talk to you. All right? So quit listening to those false prophets. Now, man of God told me today about a young lady that called him and told him, first of all, she said she want my number. She don't need my number. I've already prayed for this young lady, already talked to her and given her the instructions from the Bible. I told her to stop going to see them psychics and those false prophets. Stop going to see the witches and the warlocks. Now, she continues going to see them, calling them and getting false prophecies from them. So there is no reason on earth for her to call me anymore because I've already told her what God said. There's nothing else I can tell her. She won't obey the instructions. So I tell you what, I pray that she's listening tonight. You keep talking to those witches and you won't have a future. That is your future. All right? Now, so let's get back to this. They tell people they have a word from the Lord that is not from God. Now, that's the first thing. God said, I sent them not. He said they prophesy a false vision and divination. Now, we saw divination in Acts chapter 16, the young lady that was following the Apostle Paul and the men of God kept saying, these are the great men of God. These are the great men of God. Paul got mad, turned around, and cast that unclean spirit out of her. When he cast it out, she couldn't make her masters no more money because she operated in the spirit of divination. Now, these are the people today that would stand up and tell you, your phone number. They say, whose phone number is 336-772-9586? And then that person just gets to screaming, he called out my phone number. That is silly. That is so silly. You ought to know your own phone number. And then they'll come and write on a piece of paper your address. And that person begins to scream and holler, he knew my address. Don't you know your own address? You should not be moved by that. Or calling out somebody's Social Security number. You ought to know your own Social Security number. So you have to ask yourself, How did this person know this information? They tapped into the dark side. They're getting this information from Satan. And you screaming and hollering, so they already know they got you the minute they did this. And now they're going for the jugular. They are going to, the next thing they're going to do is tell you, God said, give me X amount of money if you want to, this word. And this is what the Bible talks about, leading silly women captive. And I have to say it because it's mostly women that follow these false prophets. You looking for a word. I need a word. I need a word. This book is filled with the word of God. Get in your Bible and you will get the word. Not a word, but the word. Glory be to God. They tell people that they have a word from the Lord that is not from God. He said, I sent them not. Then they tell people these big swelling lies. They are going to become millionaires if they sow a seed into their ministry. They tell people they're going to receive a financial breakthrough. They even go so far as to boast that when they lay their hands on that individual, they will be miraculously healed. And this is what the scripture says, that the power be of God and not of us. So if I lay hands on somebody and they get healed, the power be of God and not of me. You see, that's the power. That's who deserves the glory, not man. That's 2 Corinthians 4:7, if you want to know that scripture. Now, what are these false prophets doing? They are leading people astray with their lies and deception, because nowhere in did God ever send a prophet to a man, woman, king, or nation where they had to pay money or give gifts to get the prophecy. This is outrageous. It is not biblical. And if the people that's given these crooks their money, if you would just stop and read your Bible, you would know, hey, I don't have to give this person no money to give me a word that they say is from God. Because if God send you a prophet, they better give you that word. But also, you better beware. Because whenever God sent the prophet, he usually sent the prophet to warn that person, to give them space, grace, to repent of whatever they was doing. So you need to know, you don't have to pay for a prophecy from God. But now, if you like being deceived, you keep on paying that money. Because that's what they're doing. They will tell you just what you want to hear. But have you ever noticed that you done paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars? You done given so much money to these false prophets, and none of that stuff ever came to pass? You ought to be tired by now. You people done tapped out their 401k, giving these false prophets their money, and none of these prophecies that they gave have ever came to pass. Wow. But you keep running to them. You keep running after false prophets. Okay? People fall for this because they are not reading their Bibles nor hearing from God. Instead, they are listening to the voice of the false prophets, whom the Bible describes as ravenous wolves who devour the sheep. They just come in. I'm going to tell you something about sheep. Sheep are innocent. Sheep don't even recognize the danger that they are in when they are in danger. The wolf sees a pack of sheep and a flock of sheep, and the wolf comes and snatch one of the sheep. He usually go for the littlest one. He snatched that one, take him off, and devour him. Do you know the rest of the sheep, they don't even run? They stay right there because they don't sense the danger. And that seems to be what's happening. Do you know these false prophets, which are ravenous wolves, come into the church, snatch one of God's sheep in their mouth, devour them, and the rest of the sheep, they don't even run for cover because they don't sense the danger. You don't even know the spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is not in you. Nothing tells you this man is a liar. This person is deceiving me. Nothing speaks to you. Nothing. Why? Because you don't have the Spirit of God in you, and you're not spending time in his word. His word will tell you that that's a ravenous wolf. They come in and devour the sheep. Silly women being led captive. All right? Countless preachers have been guilty of telling family members that their deceased loved one who didn't repent of their sins, rejected the gospel message, and never turned away from their wickedness is now in heaven. Now, I just get so grieved with that. I'm like, wow. You know what? I heard a man say, he just told this lie. He got on the PA system at the school that I worked at because one of the teachers died. And the man that died was a Christian. He was a pastor. I knew him. I had talked to him several times. He had invited me to his church to even come and preach. But let me tell you something. The principal, who also claimed to be a Christian, got on the PA system and announced the death of, you know, this teacher who was also a pastor. And this is what he said. God needed a flower, and God took Mr. So-and-so, put him in his flower garden. I'm going to tell you what I did. I marched down to that office, and I told him, why did you get on that PA system and tell that lie? I said, that ain't even in the Bible. He said, well, it sounded nice. You see how they operate? The devil will tell people just what they wanted to hear. So he told the school, the whole school, that God killed that man because he needed a flower in his flower garden. And they with their silly selves believed it instead of believing that God created the heavens and the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, the ocean, man. Everything that was made by God. If God needed a flower, he can create one. He does not need to take anyone's flower in his garden. That is not in the Bible. But yet, people like those lies because it comforts them and it soothes them and it makes them feel better about things. But it's a lie. It's a lie. It's deception. Don't be deceived. Countless preachers tell this lie. I've been in funerals and they just get up and tell this lie. But I'm going to tell you something. I was in one funeral. And the guy got up and told that lie, and the pastor got up behind him. I have to give that pastor credit. He got up behind him. He said, I need to correct something. And he straightened that lie out. He straightened it out. And he didn't care whether they was offended or not. He straightened that lie out about God needing a flower. He let them know that wasn't in the Bible. So what they do is, they make up all sorts of lies to comfort the families of those who died in known sin. They are deceiving people. This is why so many sinners feel they don't need to repent because they're going to heaven anyhow. So these pastors got sinners sitting in these funerals believing, oh, if Junebug went to heaven, oh, I know I'm going because I wasn't half as bad as Junebug. It's a lie. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. You can't become no flower and get in God's garden. You have to be born again. Your sins must be forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. None but the righteous shall see God. So these false prophets are deceiving people. These pastors are deceiving people with these lies. And I'm saying to the church, wake up, church, and stop listening to these lies. Read your Bible and see what the scriptures have to tell us about these things. Many pastors are not being good shepherds. They do not preach messages that warn or correct their members. They allow them to maintain positions in the church because of their friendships, secular occupations, and their financial statuses in the community. Others give people positions in the church because they are in the same lodge, fraternity, or sorority, or other secular organizations that the pastor's in. Those are not the qualifications mentioned in the Bible for holding an office. Let's look at Acts. Let's go to Acts. Acts talks about when they chose a deacon, how they chose Stephen. So let's look at that, because it's time for people to come up out of this foolishness. It's enough is enough, okay? So when Stephen became a deacon, all right, and so I'm going to find this part of Acts. Stephen was a deacon, and he was a good deacon. And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. That's for one thing. The man was full of the Holy Ghost. And he began to tell them the truth. He began to tell them the truth, and he was stoned because of it. So I want to locate this. Hang on 1 second. This was after the day of Pentecost. So, yeah, this is Peter addressed the church, and then Stephen got stoned. So I'll find it in a minute. Just hang on. But anyway, I don't want to hold you up with that. I just wanted to share that because the scripture says, here it is, Acts chapter 7. It says that Stephen, they rose up against him. And Stephen, he preached. He preached the gospel in Acts chapter 7. And the Bible says when he got through preaching that they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. And he said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, Stephen was a devout man of God. He was a deacon in the church, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. You see, these are the requirements for holding office in the house of God. These are the requirements. So we cannot lean to our own understanding. We cannot use secular means to accomplish spiritual things. They won't work. But the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to go by the biblical examples. Having somebody to preach in your church because that's your friend, that's not a biblical reason to invite somebody to your church. Allowing someone to hold office in your church because they are in your lodge or fraternity, that's not a biblical reason. These people, the people that hold office in the church of God, I'm not talking about man's church, I'm talking about the church of God, must be full of the Holy Ghost, must be of honest report, have a good name, and must be faithful. They must have the power of the Holy Ghost in order to carry out their assignment. We cannot choose people because we like them, because they're in the same club I'm in. We cannot do that. We cannot choose people. You know, a lot of times they will choose the financial director because he's in banking in the secular community. And that may be true. Maybe the bank trusts him, but guess what? He must be filled with the Holy Ghost to hold these offices in the church. And people are making the biggest mistake. Do you know something that's on the rise in the churches today? Extortion. Churches are experiencing extortion in massive record numbers. Why? Because they appointed somebody to office who was not spirit-filled, could not be trusted, and they left them in those positions for years, unchecked, no accountability. No accountability whatsoever. You can look it up on the internet. There are massive cases of extortion in the church. People just been stealing the church money. I call it robbing them without a gun. They pencil rob them. They just rob them with a pencil. And this should not be if we put spirit-filled men and women of God in position. These things wouldn't happen. If we prayed before we promoted somebody to a position, these things wouldn't happen. But, oh, we don't need to pray because they got a degree and they are working in the bank and they have experience with finances. Yeah, they have experience with finances. But are they spirit-filled? That is the question. All right. So as I said, these are not qualifications that are found in the Bible. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy as I am holy. Pastors don't preach about sin anymore. They don't even mention hell. And I'm going to tell you something. I saw something. I was at a church one time and I saw they made an altar call. They said, did anybody want to be saved? And young girl went up to the altar and they were talking to her, and they was explaining to her, you know, what salvation was and how Jesus died on the cross, and, you know, his blood was shed. Do you know they did not want to tell her she needed to repent of her sins? And they asked her, they said, now, do you accept what Jesus did for you? And she said, yes. And they said, whoa, yay, now you say. And she never repented of her sins. You see, they don't mention repentance anymore because they don't want to make people feel bad. They don't want to offend people. But the Bible tells us that repentance, godly sorrow, unto salvation. I have never seen so many dry-eyed salvations in my life. When I came to Jesus, I was broken. I was broken because I realized that I had sinned against God, and that broke my heart, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I asked him to forgive me for the sinful life that I had lived. You see, you don't see that anymore. They're just shaking the preacher's hand, and now they're in. It's like you're in the club now, and this is not according to the scripture. People have to repent of their sins. They have to come to the knowledge of why they need to be saved. They have sinned against the Lord of glory. If you don't come to that knowledge, you will continue sinning. Pastors are more concerned about the offering and their salary than they are about the souls of their parishioners. And that's why they preach these feel-good messages, because they don't want to offend anybody, because they know if we offend these people, they're going to take their money and go down to the feel-good church down the street, and then the pastor's salary just might get cut. All right? Sexual sin is everywhere in the church. Many have become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They reject the word of God and follow their own pernicious ways, being led away by their own lust. I'm talking to you tonight about don't be deceived. Homosexuality abounds in the house of God, especially among musicians. And what I'm noticing, I got to read y'all this article. Parents of homosexual and lesbian children are now siding with their kids' lifestyle because they say God is love. Now, I came across this today, and I have to share this. This is an article that was on the news yesterday, and I got a hold of it today. It says, with father refusing to attend Brittany Griner's wedding, ex-wife's mother invoked God to send a heartfelt message. You want your child to be happy. Now, y'all know who Brittany Griner is. That's the WNBA basketball player that's being detained over in Russia because they said she had drugs on her. Okay? So she claimed that she was once married. Notice I said claim because I don't even recognize that. She claimed that she was once married to fellow WNBA star Glory Johnson. But the marriage was short-lived, which turned the lives of the two and their families upside down. Some of Johnson's family members were against the marriage of the two basketball stars, and her father did not even attend the wedding. Now, I don't know what reason that man didn't attend the wedding, but because the article didn't say, but I'm inclined to believe that he had enough God in him not to sanction that by his presence. So he didn't go. Now, I said that to say that those of you that are going to these so-called weddings of two men and weddings of two women, your very presence there says, I agree with this. And the Bible says that you become a partaker of other men's sins. You know, I don't understand how they can get guests to come to that, let alone Christians. But Christians are showing up in record numbers at these so-called weddings and marriages of two women and two men. And what they're doing it because they say, that's my child. So now you have made an idol out of your child. You're siding with your child over God. You chose your child over God because God says it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man as with a woman and vice versa, for two women to lay together as with a man. But you say, that's my child, and I want my child to be happy. Nowhere in the scripture does God say he want us to be happy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's 1 Peter 1:16. So Brittany Griner's ex-wife's mother asked God for a sign. Listen at this, y'all. This is too crazy. Asked God for a sign. For the wedding, Glory Johnson's mother prayed, looking at the sky. She prayed for a downpour as a sign that God didn't want the wedding to happen. But the sky was clear, so she said, the good Lord approved it. Is that crazy or what? Now, she obviously was against it because she prayed that it wouldn't happen. She said that she did not know her daughter was getting married to a woman, and she had some problems with that. But then she said she prayed, and she said, God, if you don't want this to happen, let it rain and let it be a torrential downpour. She said, but that didn't happen. So when the sky was clear, she took that to mean that the good Lord approved of their marriage. Now, where in the scripture have you ever seen where God approved of sin? You see this deception? This is madness. It's like the devil done lost his mind. Let's go to Leviticus 18 and 22, because you need to know that God does not approve of this mess. Acts of immorality forbidden. Sexual immorality is forbidden. All right. Verse 22 says, thou shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, then Romans chapter 1 tells us that God said, he calls it inordinate affection. Oh, I got to go there. So just bear with me 1 minute. Romans chapter 1. I'm telling you, this is too crazy. This is too crazy. All right. This is what God is saying. He said, because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. I'm starting at verse 21. Became vain in their imagination, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God, of the incorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's a picture of idolatry. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. You see, homosexuality is uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There it is, deception, self-deception, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So the women started having sex with the women, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, it means shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense. In other words, they got their payment of their error, which was due them. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. See, they are the haters, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, being disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. You see, this makes it plain. You can't get around this. And I'm going to tell you something. I met a homosexual one time. I picked him up and gave him a ride because he was in the wrong neighborhood. And I took him somewhere so he could get, he was trying to get back to Virginia. And I took him somewhere where he could catch a ride on the freeway. And that homosexual told me he could never be saved. And I said, what makes you say that? I was young in the Lord. Do you know what that guy told me? He said, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The guy knew he was reprobate. He already knew he was reprobate. And he told me so. He said, I'm reprobate. And he said, Romans chapter 1. I was like, wow. So I don't know why parents who have homosexual and lesbian children are now agreeing with their children over God. Yes, you're supposed to love your child. Yes, you are supposed to continue praying for your child, deliverance and salvation. But you do not sanction what they are doing. You know, one of my relatives, she let her daughter and her so-called wife, she let them come and spend Christmas holiday in their house. And she and her husband let them come and stay together Christmas holiday in their house. And they slept in the same bed. And they both professed to be Christian. The husband and the wife both professed to be Christian. And they let these two lesbians come and spend Christmas holiday with them, which was her daughter. And she brought her so-called wife, and they slept together in the same bed in their house. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christians allowed this. That's idolatry. When you side with your children over the word of God, you have made an idol out of your children. Don't be deceived. Deception is in the land. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. It doesn't matter who it is, your child, your niece, your nephew, your uncle, your mama, your grandmother. It doesn't matter who it is. He said, take heed that ye be not deceived. And when you side with them, you become a partaker of their sins. Instead of telling them the truth, instead of telling them, yes, I love you, but this is ungodly. This is not the will of God. Instead of telling them the truth, you just go on and make room for them in your house and say, oh, God is love. That's another one of Satan's deceptions. So Glory Johnson's mother sent a message to the other man and said that you want your child to be happy, and you have to love them and stand by them. I said, wow. Now, this woman, she obviously knew this wasn't right. That's why she prayed against it. She prayed that it wouldn't happen. But then, because the sun shined and she didn't get the rain, the sign of the rain that she was looking for, she said that meant the good Lord approved it. Do you see how ridiculous that is? That is just utterly ridiculous, totally non-biblical. And this is what's going on today. I have seen and met countless parents who profess to be Christians, and they ended up with a homosexual child, male or female, and then all of a sudden they began to agree with their child concerning their choice of a lifestyle. They began to agree with their child. And so now, instead of telling the child, instead of rebuking that child and saying, this is wrong, but I still love you. This is wrong, but I'm still your mama. This is wrong. What they do now is they make room for them in their own house. The devil is a liar. I'm going to tell you right now, this couldn't have been in my house because I wouldn't have that. I would have been like that father who didn't even go to the wedding because I'm not even finna sanction that. I'm not finna watch that. I'm not going to be a part of that. If that's what you want to do with your life, I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to tell you, this is not the will of God for your life. And this is going to have a bad end if you don't come out of this. Instead of doing that, they're just saying, oh, I want my child to be happy. I want my child to be happy. The Bible said, be ye holy, not be ye happy. All right, let's move on. Homosexuality abounds in the house of God, especially among musicians. Parents of homosexual and lesbian children are now siding with their kids because they say that God is love. I want you to know God hates sin. If we want to see Jesus, we have to obey the scriptures and not man. Entire congregations are being deceived into thinking that because they go to church regularly, they are Christians. You know, that is the prevailing thought today. Oh, if you ask people, are they saved? You know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you what church they go to. I had to tell a young lady, I was in Baltimore, and I asked her what she say. She said, yeah, I go to church. And she named her pastor. My pastor's Pastor so-and-so and so-and-so. He's a big-name pastor. He was on television. I said, ma'am, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, are you saved? You see, just by going to church, that doesn't make you saved. Now, that will help you in your desire to get saved, especially if you're in a good Bible-teaching church. But just going to church, that's not going to get you saved. You know how many devils sitting up in the church? They go to church every Sunday. The devil goes to church. But the devil ain't saved. So we got to be in relationship with Jesus. That's what makes us saved. I'm telling you, don't be deceived by this stuff. Don't be deceived. Don't let people make you think you are something that you are not. Ask the Lord, search me. Shine the light on me. Show me my sins. Show me God. Show me, shine the light on me. Ask God. He will show you. Church women today dress very provocatively, showing their cleavage and other body parts. They are being used by Satan to tempt men of God and to seduce them away from God. Many leaders are falling prey to this. They are falling prey to the spirit of seduction that is in the church and are being lured away like the Pied Piper. I was in a church in Florida, and the praise team was up. And I'm telling you what these three young women had on. It was like I couldn't even stand it. I couldn't receive from them. They were worshiping the Lord and I couldn't receive from them because they were dressed like they were in the club. I mean, mini dresses, tight skirts. One girl had on a strapless dress and she was up in front of the whole church. Come on in, Apostle.
Well, you know, sister, I'm just being blessed by what you're saying because It's happening, and God is making a shaking in the church. And this is why God wants people to read the Bible for themselves, study the Bible for themselves, so you won't get deceived with this mess. Money cometh, wanting to buy them, taking towels and selling them. $25 for 12 ounces of water that you can go lay hands on that water and sanctify it through prayer and save you some money.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, I tell you. Boy, last days, that's all I can say, sister. Advanced State is very well taught last days. Satan is all in the church, and God is trying to make a calling for people to come out of that. If you see that stuff going on in your church, come out of it. But people
run
like to be in the pain.
Your life.
Run.
Run for your life.
I have a Christian. He says that he told me now. He said he was a Christian, and he invited me over to his home in Virginia. And he had Stonewall Jackson, supposed to be a preacher, on the wall. And I'm supposed to be sitting over there at his house, and I'm with him. I said, let me ask you a question, brother, since you say you're a Christian. If a Jew was over here and you invited a Jewish friend of yours and you gave him the nicest, beautiful Jewish dinner that they have in their history. And if you got Adolf Hitler on the wall, you think that Jew will be very comfortable eating food with you?
Okay.
I said, Stonewall Jackson ain't no Christian. So he told me that Stonewall Jackson was a good man. I said, "What? How is a slave owner a good man?"
Come on, Apostle.
And then he told me, "I can't judge the president. You know, I vote for people who have policies. I can care less about their character." I said, "And you say you preaching the gospel?" I said, "God requires character to be a deacon. The deacon is the husband of one wife, according to the Bible."
Amen.
He couldn't say nothing. There's some There's some twisted people out here.
They're not reading the Bible. They are not reading the Bible. They're making this stuff up as they go along.
Yep. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
You know, the love of money is abounding in the house of God. So many pastors are seeking fame and wealth instead of going after souls. They don't even have the heart of a pastor. They're buying luxury jet airplanes for their own personal use. And some of them, they boasting about how much money they got and all the other assets that they have accumulated. And in many cases, they got people sitting in their congregation that are so poor that they have to decide whether to pay for their medication or to buy food. And they won't even help us. They don't even have a benevolent fund to help these people out. Now, I know the church is not a bank or a lending institution, but when you know you got poor people in your church, you should not be trying to get money from them to buy you another jet airplane. You ought to be trying to help them. See if you your church can build some apartments for the elderly, or see if you can have a food drive for those that are on food stamps so you can help offset their costs so they don't have to choose between their medication and whether to buy food or not. Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. These congregations, these people, you know, I was in a church and I saw these two elderly women. I used to go and clip their toenails for them. And they told me that the church was having a banquet. And they told me that the church's colors, what the colors were for the banquet. And these two women were, they were sisters, biological sisters, and they were elderly. And they were on a fixed income. And do you know they were trying to figure out how they were going to get their outfit for the church banquet, because the church had required everybody to have the same colors on. I told them, "Mother, just wear what you got." "No, we got to have the colors. We got to have the colors." But both of them was on a fixed income. Both of them was getting Social Security.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sister, I know of a woman. The pastor, give me 3 months of your house, no payments, and the fourth month it'll be triple. And she did it and lost the house.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting worse. I'm going to share a testimony, and a lot of people probably wouldn't believe me. Only one person, I know you'll believe me, but I do have a witness here, is Chaplain John, Brother John Durden. Chaplain Durden, good evening.
Good evening.
The devil is working. Sister Evangelist Taylor, that was a pastor that had on Friday's meetings, this church, can't get a name of the pastor. I have to hide his identity. I don't want to get sued. He had Ouija board night.
My God.
Wait a minute now. He done passed out 37 Ouija boards. About 60 people came. So about 120 people, everybody on the Ouija board, three people for a Ouija board. Them demons start manifesting up in there. So I know a sister in the Lord who's a ex-Satanist, and she's a born-again Christian. And she has an organization that I work with. And she said that, would you come with me? I told her, yeah, I'll come. So we got there, and God looked at me. What type of degree do you have? I said, I don't have no degree. Then he asked the other lady, what type of degree you have? She said, I'm an open heart surgeon. Well, why are you with him? And she said, in the kingdom of God, we don't look at degrees. We look at the power of God.
Amen.
So I told the pastor, do you know anything about the Ouija board? We have his written word. We have his word. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know anything about the Ouija board? I have a doctor's in theological status. Sir, do you know anything about a Ouija board? Get out the way, boy. I don't need you. Pride got in on him. I said, sir, have you ever read the book of the Psalms of Sceva in Acts chapter 19? What are you talking about? Get out the way, boy. In the name of Jesus, that demon said, shut up. And you whoring everybody in the church. The demon called out every woman he was going to bed with.
Wow.
Called them out. Called him out, lift him up in the air, and told him, you ain't nothing. You don't know Jesus. How are you going to know Jesus and you committing adultery and having homosexual acts and engaging in these sinful activities and say, you know Jesus? Demon dropped him on his knees and made him crawl. And the demon said, I'm going to tell everybody that spirit whispered something. That woman got took over by a spirit. His daughter was there. Found out she was engaged in witchcraft. That thing got in that woman. And she whispered something in that man's ear. He said, I'm going to tell everybody. And sister, I don't make this up. Brother John, tell her what the pastor, what the demon made the pastor do.
He made him crawl, put his pants and everything off. He had to crawl on his knees and made him crawl around the block, the neighborhood, and says, you're going to get rid of that flesh. I want to see bones. I want to see bones. I don't want to see flesh. And I ain't going to do this and I ain't going to do that. The demon threw him right out of the window. They're on the third floor. Shame on him. But they throw him out of the window and make him crawl around the whole block. And when they get back to the church, they don't have any skin on their knees. No skin at all.
Wow.
They ain't playing. These people who ain't anointed, I done it, saw a lot of times advantage. Say that God is really making these people suffer very quick. And do you know, this other pastor, he's trying to make a comeback. The one who went to prison, Jim Zumba.
Yeah.
PTL, Jim Baker.
Yeah, I know you're talking about Jim Baker.
He's trying to make a comeback with no anointing. See, people are attracted to this type of doctrine. This type of doctrine does not require crucifying the flesh. It brings entertainment.
And that's what they like. That's what the people like. They have an appetite for entertainment.
They got an appetite that do not want to be taught. But I tell you, those who listen to us with our 119,526 listeners, audience that we have ministered to in the last 14 years, hear us. And Sister Taylor, I want you to know that was a very powerful sermon. I'm going to turn the mic over to you and let you close. Powerful. I enjoyed it. I'm going to post it on Facebook. Those who are listening to me can go to our Facebook site and listen to this also, and also on your Blog Talk phone, on your Blog Talk line. If you want to get any other information, we are also on Apple Podcasts. We are also on Blog Talk Podcasts. We are also on Google Podcasts. We are on Podbean. We are on Podcast Listening Notes. We are also on iHeart, Religious Podcasts, Pod News, Pod Paradise, Our Tale of Podcasts, Religious Podcast 1. We are on these stations live when we teach from our Blog Talk room, and it carries us to our Facebook room. We're also on podcasts, Spanish podcast. We're also streaming out of Montego Bay, Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica, Mandeville, Ocho Rios, London, England, British Ontario, South Africa, Mozambique, Ethiopia, Sudan, Israel, Cairo, Egypt, Afghanistan, United States, Canada, Great Britain, South America, New Zealand, France, Finland, Switzerland, and Ukraine. And we thank God for allowing the Word of God to come forth. And we're also going to be going back on YouTube. God bless you, Sister Taylor. Let everybody know how they can reach you and how to sow a seed your ministry.
Amen. I want to close with this scripture. Boy, God just, he just bust the whole thing wide open. Jeremiah 23:23, he says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. Be not deceived, church. He said, therefore, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, by their deceit, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all. And when this people or the prophet or priest shall ask of the Lord, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor. I am signing off tonight. Tonight's message was be not deceived. Don't be deceived. The scripture comes from Matthew 24, Jeremiah chapter 14, and Jeremiah chapter 23. God is talking to the church. May those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. You can reach us at Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Our web address is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1148. Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. If you would like to sow a seed, if you are being blessed by this ministry, you can PayPal us at 336-575-0206 or JET245@msn.com. All gifts are welcome. We just give God praise for you for being with us on tonight. Do want to thank Apostle Emmett Overton for allowing me a fellowship of deliverance, for allowing me to be with him, his radio listening audience tonight. Want to thank Brother John Durgin, Chaplain John Durgin, for coming in on tonight. Just want to thank God for the Holy Spirit, because God just gave me this message today, don't be deceived, but then he just gave it also to Apostle Emmett Overton. So God is talking. He's talking about deception, deception that's running rampant in the church today, in the body of Christ. Thanks to God, take heed that no man deceive you. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor signing out tonight. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good night, everybody. Amen.
Amen.